Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Get in the freaking auto!
This is Brock and Saul.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Power through the Alaska Airlines studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We're going to do you on the interview.
Don't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
Oh, and look at you all decked out, Brock, in your Masters gear today.
Oh, am I?
Wow.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
You don't wait till tomorrow. You bring it out for the par three?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize I was even wearing it today.
Oh, of course not.
No, hat, the three-quarter zip.
Yeah.
And, of course, the very traditional Jack Nicklaus white.
Wow.
Yes.
Underneath. You've gone all the way. For everybody who is watching on the stream, make sure you download the Seattle Sports app. Really easy way to watch us on the stream. And you can see Brock's triple Masters outfit today.
Yeah.
As he gets ready for Scott Van Pelt, who's going to join us in 30 minutes. Nice work. Nice work on that.
Yeah, you know, I try, Salky.
Yeah,
I try.
Well, we're going to see if we've grown in the 15 years since we talked to Scott on the first day of the Masters 15 years ago. All right. Brock, I read this yesterday, and maybe you can help me out. What's going on? Who is Sam Howell? Like, what is the plan here?
I'm uncomfortable.
Why?
Did you see what I sent you last night? Did you see our numerology?
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
So what is he doing?
I'm getting there.
Did I say that on the air or off the air? I'm pretty sure I said it on the air.
You said it on the air, and I don't even know what to make. Like, Brock, we're going to get there. We can't start there.
Okay, don't start
there. We are going to get there. I promise we're going to get there because this news came out yesterday. Before we get there, let me address this.
All right.
So we talked to Matt Miller last week, right? And Matt Miller, our drafts guy, NFL drafts guy who we love, kind of said he would take 7 quarterbacks in this year's draft over Sam Howell. The 6 everyone's talking about plus Spencer Rattler, who, by the way, was visiting the Seahawks this past week.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, no, I would take all 7 of them over Howell. Not a fan. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's certainly the downside. Then I see this article in The Athletic from our friend Mike Sando, who kind of went through what opposing GMs and scouts and stuff are saying about different teams. And he had this about the Seahawks. Adding Sam Howell stood out to execs as an intriguing move. He played his butt off in Washington, and then they just hung him out to dry by passing too much. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit like Gardner Minshew, but with more arm. He's a little reckless with the ball. You can't fix that, but I don't know how that they will.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating view.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a good comp? Is he like Gardner Minshew with the ball on the field?
I think he's got a stronger arm than Gardner.
Well, that's what they said.
Yeah, Gardner's
Gardner
got
Minshew
a butt
with more arm.
There you go. Yeah, which to me is like Baker Mayfield. Like, who's Gardner Minshew with more arm? Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
And we have said that. People have said that. Yeah, that has been written about a bunch. I mean, that's the ceiling to me. That's a ceiling. I'm not saying that's possible, but I'm saying that is the ceiling. Is a Baker Mayfield, who, by the way, went to the playoffs, won a playoff game, has taken 2 organizations, turned Cleveland into a little bit of Believe Land, and you know, so, or maybe he's Baker without some of that charisma.
Well, but that's the word I wanted to use, because when you talk about those two players and the style with which they play,
yes,
it seems like part of the package with especially Gardner Minshew, but also with Baker Mayfield, is the personality.
Correct.
And the way their personality pairs with that style.
Correct.
It's, you know, Brett Favre had some of that personality paired with style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of curious how the Howell thing works with his personality and that style of football. Not that I have any problems with his personality, but I don't know whether it matches the Baker Mayfield Gardner Minshew comp in any way.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering from your perspective, how does it work as a quarterback with that style of play paired with his type of personality?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. That's probably the crux of it and why, you know, on one level, you totally understand this. On one level, from a value, you know, you and certainly what you're paying him, you're going to be paying him what these six quarterbacks are going to get drafted in the first round are going to get paid, and that kind of commitment and everything that comes with the first round pick. So, you know, you're paying what, $1 million a year or so to take a shot on this guy. You are, in many ways, I think, personality wise, Salk, who you are. I don't know. I'm trying to think of how many guys I spent quite a bit of time. For some reason, I couldn't sleep last night. Maybe it was a Masters. Maybe it's premenopause. I don't know what it is, but I just could not sleep last night. And I know we're going to talk about all these rookie quarterbacks. And I thought about Drake May. And I think I'll just talk through this a little bit here out loud.
Yeah.
Drake May is similar to Sam Howell. From a personality, he's kind of just a laid-back southerner, kind of easy going, kind of some of the Daniel Jones has got some of that Southern hospitality, that kind of gentlemanship. Like, I'm trying to think of somebody that came into the league like that and then just totally blossomed. And not that that's a bad personality by any means. I mean, it's just kind of chill, right? At golf, you know, we had a guy that was a, came here, was a six-round pick, I believe, when I was a Seahawk, old Miami Marlins baseball player, Josh Booty, right? He just kind of had the same, just Southern, just chill. And the NFL is not that. The NFL is urgency. The NFL is like, come on now, like, elevate everybody around you. You know, you got to pick up the pace. You got to be yourself. You got to be who you are. But there's got to be certain urgency to you. If Damon's listening right now, he had Brody Croyle, another Alabama quarterback with a great arm and everything else. But he just had this Southern just chill and, you know, needing some of that urgency. Peyton was the opposite of it. I guess Eli, you could say, had some of that. And the bright lights in the big city and New York and everything in New York maybe elevated and brought him a little bit out of some of that and some of that urgency. But to me, you know, that will be a question, Sulky, is just the charisma, the leadership. Can I carry everybody? Can I elevate everybody?
Well, right? But they all especially follow me? Brock, when you're pairing that with this style of play that has
Gardner
a lot of risk
and Baker,
with it, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And then, like, with those guys, you're like, hey, it's who they are. It's Brett Favre. It's Gardner Minshew. Like, do I love it? Well, that's up to you whether or not you think it's the best way to win. But at least it makes sense with kind of who they are.
Yes.
Very curious to see how that works with this.
Well, Ryan Grubb's going to push him now. Ryan Grubb, personality-wise, is I don't want to say an agitator, but he's an aggressor. You know, he's going to challenge. He's going to confront. It certainly did that at the collegiate level. Do you do that with, you know, grown men? We'll see.
Going to be interesting.
Time will tell.
Okay.
But if this is about judgment, Salk, if this is about judgment.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about this, Brock. What do we make of this? Tell the people what happened.
Well, you know, I saw some rumblings and some rumors. Is the Seahawks are getting going? Is players going to be made available? They're going to be talking today. That the new free agents all got their numbers, their jersey numbers on the roster. I was like, no, that just can't be. It was from some site that I didn't fully believe. I'm like, that's not possible. That's not possible. And then late last night, the Seahawks sent out, you know, their new additions with all their numbers.
Yeah.
And if judgment's in question, I am sorry, you cannot pick number six. That's Bubby Bristerland. I mean, we can't do it. Can't win with them. Yeah,
has any quarterback ever been successful wearing number six?
Sonny Sixkiller, amazing in the 60s. Great.
It's been a
totally
while.
Fit. It was in his name. Of course he's going to win.
He didn't have a choice.
Six. No.
Right.
Number six?
Yeah. It's,
you asked
it's
him what
cursed.
Number he was going to wear when he came here, and you said, you know, are you going to spend a little money? Nah, I'm not going to.
I said he should take number eight and see if he could buy that sucker off of Kobe.
He looks like a number eight.
Right.
Plays like a number eight.
Absolutely. Everything about
maybe
him
even
screams
a number four.
Eight.
Maybe even a Brett Favre in number four running around. Six.
You're going to disrespect Jay Cutler like this?
Yes.
Jay Cutler stinks.
In front of the audience?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to disrespect Jay Cutler. I've been doing it for decades.
Hey, by the way, there's kind of that Southern personality, too, that Vanderbilt just like.
Mark Sanchez.
Well, he also had like the arrogant element of that. That's
he
different.
Did.
I don't think that's a fair comp personality-wise.
Or
yes,
boy Sanchez
he was
six, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't work either.
No.
Yeah.
That was a butt fumble.
Yeah.
Bobby Brister.
Baker Mayfield looked good in six.
You're just going to keep saying Bubby Brister over and over again?
I'm going to keep saying Bubby Brister.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
I think that's, you know, another Southern fit. Bubby Brister.
Yeah, but I think what you're getting to there is his questioning his judgment. And I think that's where it's really fair, Brock. It's one thing to wonder about how he looks in it. I think what you really got to do is question his judgment in choosing it. I think that's really the fair way to go here.
Yeah. Maybe he's going to take, I mean, he's taking a risk. Maybe he's going to break through. Maybe he's going to say, this is exactly what I need.
Maybe he's the first. Maybe when he wins in it and becomes a Hall of Famer, he's like the only person associated with it, so he doesn't have to share it with anybody.
Anybody in the NFL Hall of Fame who wore number 6? Look that up, Justin.
I can't imagine such a thing would exist. It just doesn't even seem possible. All right. With that, I guess we'll take a quick break. Scott Van Pelt's going to join us in 20 minutes. He's got to be in the midst of his favorite week of work all year long as he's at the Masters, and we'll look forward to talking to him from there.
Ray Flaherty, Benny Friedman.
Yeah, those people aren't real. You just made up both those names. We're coming up next with everything you need to know, including the same thing over and over and over again. Huh. It's next on Brock and Salk.
The Mariners are all about giving you more baseball for your buck. With Mariners Value Games, you can snag seats for as little as $10 to select games all season long. To get your tickets and check out the complete Mariners Value Game schedule, go to mariners.com/valuegames.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Massive, the power of pop culture, is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition, featuring iconic artifacts from artists Beyonce, Nirvana, and more. All throughout May, Washington residents receive special discounts on tickets and memberships. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
Cantor Diamond, truly the best diamond prices, saving you big on your next special diamond. By appointment in our Tacoma showroom or globally by phone or email, cantordiamond.com or on Instagram at KANTOR Diamond.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
How many Yogi Berra quotes do you know, Brock? Couple?
I know a couple.
Do you know this one? Deja vu all over again? Because that's what yesterday felt like. The exact same game we've seen a whole bunch of times, and certainly the night before, the same problems continuing night after night for the Mariners, who once again didn't do much productively at the plate, played some terrible defense, and most importantly, didn't get the pitching they needed from one of their top guys. This time it was George Kirby. He struggled, gives up 5 in just 4 innings, gave up a big home run to Bichette, a big 2-run single to George Springer early in the game. You can't have it. This team can't afford it.
Back-to-back nights where we can't get our starter deeper in the ball game, and certainly that is what we pride ourselves on, is pitching and defense and getting our starter deep in the game, and we haven't been able to do that.
Well, he mentions defense in there, and it was once again as big a problem as the pitching. Mm-hmm. You know, Polanco, I was saying earlier, I don't know if he's got flubber in his glove or something that bounces, but the error he had was brutal. It didn't cost them because obviously Kirby gets the double play. I don't know what to tell you about the dropped throw when Cal Raleigh has the guy pegged, because that led directly to 2 runs, and 2 runs is the difference in this game.
Yeah, and do you think maybe George of all of them is going to be the most affected?
It just feels that way.
Personality-wise and like emotionally and everything else, that he may be the most affected. And I think you're probably going to put Kirby and Castillo in the same bucket. I know Kirby had one quality start that led to a win, but the other 5 of 6, it doesn't feel stuffy. You know, I'm seeing 97. It doesn't feel stuffy. It just feels command. And a lot of the breaking pitches, just fatty, just sitting there over the middle of the plate for guys to do some damage with. And, yeah, Scott said, hey, I'm not concerned. It's a long marathon. It's going to be 30 more starts.
Right.
But you got to command. No matter how good your stuff is, you still, in this league.
You got to get guys out when you have the opportunity, because both of them got to 2 strikes a lot. We saw a lot of foul balls yesterday. Kirby said, yeah, it can be a little frustrating.
It's definitely frustrating, but, you know, like my head, I know I'm going to beat him. So, like, I just got to keep telling that to myself. You know, lock me in, make this pitch right here. And, you know, sometimes they're good hitters, so they're going to beat you once in a while. And tonight I just thought I was a little bit too much in the zone and just didn't expand like I needed to.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of looking at it. Yep. And the foul balls, I think, are going to affect him. They always will because he lives in the strike zone.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, that's now 4-8, brutal, losers of 6 of their last 7. Oof. Last game of the road trip today, noon start, all eyes on Logan Gilbert. They really need him to help them out of this thing.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All kinds of meetings for the Seahawks right now, Brock, as they're getting prepped for the draft, etc. So Ian Rappaport says Spencer Rattler was in Seattle for a visit yesterday.
Mike great Garofalo, name. I mean, the great name.
It is a great name.
Like, he would wear 6. I could see Spencer Rattler wearing 6.
Wasn't he a huge deal?
Oh, 5-star. He was an enormous recruit out of Arizona.
Recruit, right?
Yeah, 5-star recruit. Went to Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley. Right. Thought, okay, he'd be the next in the succession line with Kyler Murray. And nope, just did not really work that way. And some dude named Caleb Williams came to town from Washington, D.C., who was just as big a 5-star deal. And then Spencer went to South Carolina the last couple of years. He's played great in spots. He was the Senior Bowl MVP. He's littler. I mean, he kind of fits in the same conversation. I think he's even littler than Baker and Gardner Minshew. Mm. But he can spin it, man. He can throw a football, and he's going to be the 7th QB drafted. Where that is probably part of the reason that he was in Seattle.
They also had Jared Verson yesterday, and he's going to stick around today. Is that intriguing to you that he's coming by?
We'll get to that in Blue 88.
Oh, good. I'm excited for that. That'll be coming up here in about 25 minutes. Chase Claypool, another wide receiver, stopped by. He's been around for a couple of years now. Was a second-round pick in Pittsburgh. Had a few good seasons. And then that didn't work out. Went to Chicago. That didn't work out. Went to Miami. That didn't work out. So we'll see whether or not he ends up here in Seattle.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
What's the good news, Brock?
Yeah, the women outrated the men for the first time.
Is that true? I didn't see the men's ratings.
Yes, 14. They were in the 14 million.
Close.
No one close.
Yeah.
Blown right out of the water.
Yeah. Now, some of that is going to be network TV versus TBS cable.
Correct.
But still, that's a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. Yep. And I did secure my tickets. Going to go see Caitlin Clark play with the Indiana Fever on May 22nd. Going to bring Cecily. Can't wait. No, nice. I thought this was some good news.
Gunther, the rookie, picked off by Seattle's Shane Wright. Forward lines, defense bearings, top of your screen. Shane Wright sneaks it home.
Yeah, that's 3 goals in 4 games. Throw in an assist. Now, they've all come against the Ducks, Sharks, and Coyotes, but still. Well, credit for Shane Wright, who we've questioned quite a bit this year. That's a good sign in his limited time. Also, Masters underway tomorrow. You got the par 3 today. Scottie Scheffler's the favorite. Rory McIlroy's looking to complete the Grand Slam. Tiger Woods is there, and we'll see whether or not he can get through a whole round or two and make the cut. Gonna be fun, huh?
Yeah, storylines.
You're geared up for it.
I sure am. Literally geared up. And I got to confess. Okay, that's everything you need to know.
Oh, yeah. Give me your confession. Before Scott Van Pelt joins us from Augusta in 10 minutes.
And I don't want to make this a bigger deal than it is. Maybe I did on the text last night. But last night, Titus, our baby.
You call it the confession of all confessions.
Okay, fine. Maybe it will be. I'll let you guys judge.
Is it gross? Should people be worried?
It's pretty gross.
Is it a Dr. Pimple Popper thing?
It's not that gross. Good. But it's still pretty darn gross. And it certainly was to me as I was dry heaving. Titus going to be a freshman. Yep, Titus is going to be a freshman. Our baby's going to be the last one to go into high school. Mm-hmm. And they had an event last night, this big welcome for the incoming freshman-to-be. And they had separated the kids. They all went to the gym and had fun, did their thing. And all the parents went to the auditorium and heard from the head of school and some of the other people. And you know, I've had this little creaky knee. It's just been kind of bothering me. And I was like, whew, Molly saved me a seat. Awesome, because I was running just a couple minutes late myself. So I'm like, okay, I can stretch my leg out. This is great. And about 40 minutes into a 70-minute presentation, person just comes and just has to plop right down. Okay.
In front of you.
No, right where I was stretching out my leg, my extra space. So okay, now I'm like, oh, gosh, no, that's fine. Whatever. Not that big a deal. I give grace to people that are late. And so they're ongoing. And then, Salk, I look over, and this person is not just chewing on their fingernails.
Okay.
The person is eating their fingernail.
Swallowing?
Swallowing.
No.
Salk.
It's not true.
Salk swallowing.
I call not true.
And so I'm like, oh, maybe it's just the first one. 25 minutes.
What?
Eating fingernails.
No. I don't buy it.
At which point I turn to Molly. She's on my right. I'm like, I'm going to throw up.
There's no way that's true.
And I kind of like do this with my head. And she looks over and she's like, R-r-r-r. So I, you know, and then this is the most beautiful part though. This is the God sense of humor. So I am, and then I put my hand up like this, like I'm just kind of resting because I can't look at it.
Of course not.
It's now to the point, it's every nail. It's going through every hand, like finger. And then all of a sudden, at the very end, the pastor on the campus says, okay, now we're all going to stand up and we're going to do the benediction. And if you feel comfortable, you can put your arm around the person.
Oh, no.
Oh, oh, oh,
oh, no.
Oh, oh, Betsy. Whoa. But I did.
You put your arm around this person?
I did. I sucked it up and I put my arm around.
That community, yep. That fellowship.
And this person had the audacity to say, oh, hope they're not doing that with the kids in the gym because I don't know how my son's going to react to this. I'm like,
wow.
Son, how about me right now? It's a dry heaving.
That's pretty disgusting. I don't believe you. There's no way that's true, but I think it's disgusting.
This person was not spitting out the nails on the floor. There's no place to spit out the nails when you're eating your fingernails.
I don't buy it. It's impossible. I've never heard of a person eating their fingernails. No way. It's disgusting, and I can't believe you've told us about this story before 7:30 this morning. Scott Van Pelt was not wild about me when we first chatted 15 years ago, and I was not prepared for the Masters. But you know what? We've made our peace, and I can't wait, and he's going to join us from Augusta next on Brock and Salk.
You're free now, free to stream beyond your wildest dreams, free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber, your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
Cantor Diamond, greater service, greater diamond options, and greater savings. Meet us in our professional private Tacoma showroom by appointment only. CantorDiamond.com or globally by phone, email, or Instagram at KANTOR Diamond. Cantor Diamond, truly the best diamond prices.
Massive, the power of pop culture is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition, featuring iconic artifacts from artists Beyonce, Nirvana, and more. Planning a trip to Washington? Make sure to include Mopop in your itinerary. Tickets and info at mopop.org.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
It is Masters Week. Of course, it gets underway officially tomorrow morning. Scott Van Pelt is there from ESPN. He's kind enough to join us now. Scott, good morning. Is this the best work week of your year?
Without question. It's something we all kind of confer about, and no one can offer an alternative. It's just a state of mind. You kind of arrive, you're grateful to be back, and you just sort of float around all week long. It's by a wide margin, honestly, the best work week of the year.
You mentioned the word arrive, and it's funny that I have that in my second question written down for you today. Could you take us through, for those who have never been there, can you take us through what it's like to arrive there? I don't know if you remember your first time arriving there or what it was like this week when you arrived there. What is it like to drive up and arrive at Augusta?
It's way different when you come back than when you come for the first time, because no matter what you do trying to envision what it's going to feel like or look like, it looks different just because it's more, it's more perfect. It's immaculate in every way. And the thing about this place, and this is where I'm always cautious because I realize the folks that are, you know, listening there this morning, maybe they're not golf fans. And I'm not trying to be overly syrupy. It's just this place makes you feel stuff. I was talking to Xander Schauffele's coach. He said, we got here on Sunday and there was no one here. And he said, we went to on the putting green. And he said, we were there for like an hour and a half. He said, we might have hit 20 putts. He said, we just stood and just your mind, your soul is just sort of still and calm and serene. And every blade of grass feels exactly right. Everything is just so. Everybody is in their in a state of mind where they act correctly. You don't have bozos behaving poorly, or there's just no bad form. It's just a whole gratitude vibe that the way we come in is a little different because, you know, we're on the compound where we can come in kind of around the backside on the par three course. And there's the par three contest is on ESPN this afternoon. Actually starts around noontime out where you are. So we kind of come up this back way and there's this pond and there's this one hole where I stop every single day when I come in and I just walk over to this tee, take a minute, a little gratitude for the universe and thank God. And off I go to wherever I'm heading. And it's that kind of place. It invites that. And I'm not the most that guy. I can be cynical. I can be like, yeah, this place, there's none of that, man. You just are in this really sort of zen state or something almost. As I describe it, it almost feels like that's what it is.
Scott Van Pelt here with us from ESPN. I would ditto and co-sign on all of that, Scott. I went there in 2021. I don't think I could ever go back. It was that good. It was that perfect. It was limited because of COVID.
Yes. Am I saying anything that doesn't that you did? You're like, no. That's a little much. Like,
no, but right? I would say though, going in the backside, you know, the through the compound, the way you do is a little different than the older woman that yells at you as you're walking through security, and she screams, "Don't be that guy! Don't do the walk of shame! You try to bring your cell phone, it's walk of shame. You'll be walking right out of here." So she kind of sets a tone a little bit like, you're going to follow the rule here. And nobody, and I mean nobody, is bringing a cell phone into this place.
No, but you know what that does? That makes everybody be present in a very different way. And it also makes you be accountable and makes me ask myself, how the hell did we ever find each other back in the day? I was supposed to meet three people yesterday. I said, I'll see you at the Oak Tree at 1 o'clock. Two of them showed, one of them didn't. Yeah. I waited for a little bit, and then I'm like, well, you're not here, and I don't know where you are, and I can't find you, so you lose, right? Yes. Like, you got to be where you say you're going to be at the time you say.
Scott, who's Pat McAfee's buddy? Who's the AJ Hawk? We were there a couple years ago. I was there with a great, just a great group of people, and there were four of us. And we're like, okay, here's the deal. Like, we're gonna go to the gift shop, and then we're gonna all meet back right here at the practice screen. Like, don't do anything else. Don't leave. We cannot find you if you. And so Jordy Nelson's back, and Jimmy's back, and I'm back. And where's AJ? Like, where is AJ? And the thing is, like, getting going, and I want to watch Bryson DeChambeau that year. And we just waited, and then we're like, forget it. We'll find him. At some point, we will cross paths amongst all these acres. We will find them. And you know what? Never found him. Never found him. 9 hours. Never, ever, ever found him. Thankfully, he had a car that he got to get back to the show, Scott. But it is, it's unlike anything else on Earth.
What is the buzz this week? Obviously, Tiger, I know he had a decent practice round. It's been a while since he's been able to kind of make it through. Is he still, as always, creating the most buzz?
I think he always will, just his presence, that just catching. It's like a sighting, you know. You see a group of people, and they're all gathered around something. And if it's the biggest group of people, you can be certain that it's that guy. Still, which is mind-boggling to me, because the first year you asked a little early, Mike. Like, the first year I came here, excuse me, was '97, which was Tiger's first win when he was 21, and obviously that sort of set the whole world on fire. But even now, as a guy with a fused back and a leg that is causing him to not be able to complete rounds, he's still the guy that you pay attention to. And it was funny, yesterday afternoon, I was able to catch up with Justin Thomas, who had played a practice round with him. And he said on one hole, Tiger hit it, and one of the hole locations where it's kind of at the bottom of a swale, and it rolls up the hill, and it's getting closer and closer and closer, and the patrons are getting excited. And then Justin's like, he's going to win. He's going to win. And getting everybody all riled up. And it doesn't take much, right, to light the fuse. All he's got to do is make an early birdie, and you start thinking, what if? But it's just such a chore these days for him to complete rounds because his body is betraying him. So, you know, he sits down in that press room and says he wants to win again. And I'm like, go get it, big fella. Like, if you do, it'll be the damnedest thing we've ever seen. But it just feels like that's a whole lot to ask right now.
Salk, you got another golf question? Because I want to transition to something.
Can I do like some rapid fire golf questions? Scott, when we first talked about this 15 years ago, I was not into golf. I'm now obsessed. Yeah. I don't think I could make it through life without the Golf Channel on my TV. I watch more golf than I should. I watch women's college golf, men's college golf, LPGA, PGA. I'm
not
watching.
What got into you, man? That's different than our first time, Scott, we talked about the Masters, isn't it?
I don't know what's happened to me. I became like an adult. I don't know what it is, but like, it comes for all of us one day, and it came for me in my mid-30s, and so now I'm obsessed. So let me just ask you a couple quick golf questions. We'll do them kind of rapid fire.
Yep.
What is Scottie Scheffler's move like in person with that ugly leg kick thing?
You just don't look at the lower half.
Okay, good. Smart. I can't look at it.
You can't.
It really upsets me. Like, I find him hard to watch.
Yeah, but then look at his numbers. He's the best from tee to green that there is in the game. And if he figures out the putter part, then he wins easy.
I saw you talking about Rory and a great point that for him, this is, you know, he's looking for a Grand Slam, whereas everybody else is just looking to win the Masters. Not that that's nothing. I saw him yesterday. I want to say he recited every Masters champion for the last 30 years. Is that is he a legit threat this week? Could we finally see Rory get it done?
Sure. He's working with Butch Harmon, and the thing that Butch has been a friend for a long time. I think the genius of Butch is there are a lot of swing instructors that if you go to them, they want you to swing the way that the instructor thinks you're supposed to swing. Butch wants you to swing the way you swing. He just wants you to believe that swing's good enough. And I think if anyone can unlock the mind of Rory to just let him be, it'll be Butch, or it'll be his daughter, Poppy, who apparently he told his daughter he had to go get a lesson. And where are you going, Daddy? I have to go get a lesson. She's like, you already know how to play golf. And he was like, yeah, you know, I do. Sometimes it's that simple. Like, just get out of his own way and let it be. And you know, the challenge is there's so many really great players here that arrive with the same hopes that he does and the ability to win. But he absolutely is a threat. I mean, his talent is such that he's a threat anytime he plays anywhere.
All right. So you mentioned kids. I saw Jordan there with his little kid, Sammy Spieth. The rest of my day rests on your answer to this question. How does Jordan look, and will we see him win another major here this week?
I think so.
Oh my gosh.
I think so. And the odds, I think, would be the shortest here because so many games just marry so beautifully with this place, which is interesting because it's not all the same type of player. But I absolutely believe Spieth will do that. He's still a young man with plenty of runway, and I would not shock me if I was going to bet on the next one or another one, it would be this one.
He's become my favorite athlete on the planet. How weird is that? He is. Don't lie, Brock.
And maybe you're second.
What, after Caitlin Clark these days? Yes. Just because she's been phenomenal
exactly
to watch.
Right.
It's a great sports story.
Yes.
There's something about Jordan, and he's frustrating as all heck to watch. And as a fan, he drives me crazy. But there's something about him that there's something very wholesome about him that I truly enjoy. Have you been around him much?
Yeah, he's a good dude. If he weren't, I would sort of gently dissuade you from that. But
right.
No, you're spot on. You'd love him. Creates a big, you know, one of us sports fans, loves everything, you know, other than the one sport that he's in. And he's kind of an everyman, right? I mean, the thing that's funny is people act like he doesn't hit it a long way. He does. It's the sneaky part of his game. But yes, he's a really good man who I like.
Well, you're a good man for taking a whole bunch of time on the busiest week of your life. So my last question, and you can gently persuade me and say, no, you're wrong on this one too. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think in my lifetime, especially doing this media, Scott, over the last 18, 19 years or so, I can't remember somebody impacting their sport as much as Caitlin Clark has other than Tiger. When you were there in 97, you started to feel it. And he's had oversized khakis, and it's hilarious to watch those old highlights and how much they've changed the course and everything else. He changed golf. And it sure feels like is a guy that knows women's basketball inside and out, because I married a college women's basketball player, and Al Jaffe and I talked UConn women's basketball. It's the only reason I got in the door at ESPN is we broke through and had that. I'm trying to find somebody other than Caitlin Clark over the last 20, 25 years that had a bigger impact on their sport than her and Tiger Woods.
Those are the two. You're spot on. And we've been having this conversation ever since I got on the ground here. It's astounding to see. I loved what Dawn Staley did afterwards in thanking her for what she did. She's in the same way that Tiger was the tide that lifted all boats. Caitlin Clark has been the tide that lifted this sport. The numbers are astounding. The accomplishments are astounding. And something happened on our show afterwards on Friday night that where Diana Taurasi had this thing where she was kind of coming at her about reality's coming. And I was laughing. My reaction to that was I said this to Chris Long on his podcast. Every great athlete, and you would know, Brock, having been at the level you got to, every great athlete at the highest level, when they know there's some star coming from the level below, they put a bullseye on them. Because they're like, oh yeah, you know, you think this, you're so great, well come get some. But only the best ones get the attention of stars like that. Yeah. And Diana saying that to me is here, this is the last year for her, and it's the first year for Caitlin. And Diana Taurasi never says that if she doesn't think Caitlin Clark is exactly what she is, which is a singular transcendent star. What she did for this sport was our network. Or societally, we have never seen anything like it. I got the chance to talk to her after they beat LSU. I was so grateful to talk to her just about what it is, what she has been, what the last 40 minutes represented for her, what she got to. It didn't end the way they wanted. She's incredible. She handled it all with an unbelievable grace. I don't know. I mean, I don't know anyone on our side of the aisle that isn't just blown away by her. I hope it continues in the WNBA. I hope women's college basketball continues to get more eyeballs as a result of her. I'm rambling now, but that's what she is, Brock. Like she was everything you said and more.
And she could hit a golf ball too.
Incredible joyride that she took the sport on.
Yeah. You got a pretty good golf swing too.
Like, is that true?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
oh, she can.
She played with Zach last year. I haven't seen Zach yet. I want to talk to him about all that, but she's, I mean, I don't know. What an amazing thing this year was.
Did you play with Zach Johnson? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they went to the like the John Deere last summer. Pro-Am. Wow. Yeah. Look it up.
All right, I'm on.
Look it up.
How did I miss that? How did I miss this information? What's the matter
with me? Doc? Hey, I know you. Were you over there? You took take a week off paying attention to golf? Come on.
That's not like me. Yes, the no. John Deere. I don't know. That's the one that Steve Stricker used to win every year. All right. We got to go. Scott, thank you. You have to go.
I'm sure you do. I blew through a break because Van Pelt rambled. I'm sorry. This is what you get. You asked me to come on for 12 minutes. You get 18. Sorry.
You know what, man? Have the best week. Enjoy the best week of your year. We'll enjoy watching it. Thank you so much, Scott. We appreciate it. I'm glad I've matured in 15 years, and it's good to catch up with you.
We're all allowed to grow and learn, man. Be good, all right?
There you go. There's Scott Van Pelt. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. You don't need to know. It was a bad, bad moment 15 years ago, and I'm glad we were able to get past it, Brock. That was fun. Right now, let's ask you some football questions. We call it Blue 88.
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88.
Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Huard breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Saul.
No, we will relive that.
Do we have
because
to?
Because Maura and Justin need to know.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they need to know that Lumberg won occasionally, and especially at that time as the station was forming, and we had poor Dick Vitale, whose throat and his vocal cords, he couldn't even talk. But, you know, we were able to get him on Calabro's show. And Lumberg One twisted, I think, Scott's arm to have him come on with us. And literally, Salk said something like, why should I even care about the Masters?
Not what I said.
Pretty close to that. Well, what did he say?
Looks like we have some stuff from that.
You got to calm down, Mike. No, that was fascinating.
Back then. What was fascinating was Lumberg One. The horror in his eyes and in his face as Salk was asking some of these questions.
I asked one question. Oh. I asked why the Masters mattered more than the other tournaments.
And it
didn't go over.
And that was it. Two-minute interview. See you later.
Well, goodbye. I'm glad we've grown from that, Brock. Thank you for bringing it up again and making me relive it. I really appreciate it. Can we ask you football questions now, or are you trying to get out of it? I know you got a text from someone yesterday asking you about the style of run game that Ryan Grubb is going to have.
Yep.
What did you answer? What was your answer?
Yeah, it was a really good question, right? Because you're trying to, this is a reporter, a national guy, does an awesome job, and is just like, okay, I'm trying to figure out what the Seahawks are going to do. They're going to have to draft an offensive lineman, or maybe two, right? In the interior of that offensive line, you look at their roster. I mean, you just need people to fill now some of those spots. And he said, hey, you were around Grubb and Scott Huff up there in Seattle. What kind of run game do they have? And I was like, whew, good question. They're not just a man power scheme. They're not an outside Alex Gibbs zone team. They're not just a one-dimensional zone read team. They kind of just do whatever their personnel does. And, you know, I get it. Kind of asking that question to see if there's just prototypes and players that fit into different scheme. And I don't think that's going to be the case, Saul. Hmm. I think one of the advantages you have when you're a college coach coming to the NFL, and we've seen this with a few of them, is that I take what we have or you have on your roster, and I've got enough scheme that I'm going to play to their strengths. And that sounds easy enough, right? Isn't that what every coach is supposed to do in every single sport? Just, it's not about your scheme. It's about your personnel. It's about playing to their strengths. I think in a Huff and a Grubb in particular, because in Washington, I couldn't say they were just one thing. They played to their strengths. Had two NFL offensive tackles, had an undersized center that they got out and they pinned and they pulled. And, you know, so I think in this case, it will be about the best lineman, the best, just talented, most dynamic offensive lineman. And then they'll build the scheme around those guys' strengths.
Sounds pretty good. All right, question number two. I know you have been saying the Seahawks aren't likely to take an edge defender, but it sounds like Jared Verse is in for a 2-day visit here.
So it sounds like every edge guy is in, by the way.
So are you sure?
I'm not so sure.
Okay.
I'm not so sure. And what was this fine fellow's name? Nick Baumgartner?
Nick Baumgartner.
From The Athletic, who jumped on with Bump and Stacy, had this to say, and I can't disagree with much of this.
This about, is kind of a best player available situation, but also, you know, knowing Mike McDonald and what he's been able to do over the years. Verse is a guy he's actually really good. He's one of the top, you know, two in the class that actually would qualify, you know, as a top end first round pick. He's long, he's explosive, he's got, you know, bend, all that sort of stuff. He could be a three down player. He's got coverage range. You know, McDonald made his bones nationally at Michigan with Aiden Hutchinson and really unlocked a lot of stuff with him as an edge that, you know, helped turn him into the player that he's become. And, you know, during that year they were together, he took him and moved him around and did a bunch of stuff. I think a versatile, athletic pass rusher who can also defend the run and then drop and cover is a guy that McDonald can really do a lot of cool stuff with.
He's versatile.
Yes, he is. Well played. Well played. I mean, Uchenna's going to be here, right? Just let's just do this little project of math. Uchenna's going to be here. Uchenna's an absolute stud, could fit into any scheme in any system. Boye Mafe's going to be here, right? He had 6-7 games with a sack. Like, Boye Mafe's going to be here. This should be a, you know, continued maturation and growth going into year number 3. Derek Hall was a second round pick last year. Derek Hall's got to be here, right? I mean, even that kind of investment and everything else. Gerald Taylor? I know they signed him and his restricted free agency and everything else. I mean, that is a lot. That is a lot of draft capital.
Especially because Draymond Jones kind of plays that role at times, too.
He has played some of that, too. But you're bringing in all of these guys. You're bringing in Chop Robinson. You're bringing in Jared Verse. You've spent time with all of these guys. They don't just do that for nothing. That is not a red herring, I think, to anybody else in a draft. I think it speaks to, Salk, when you ask me point blank, could they? Sure, they could. Because it's a new regime. New coaching staff saying, this is what I need, John. You know, and maybe one of these guys gets moved and traded. I'm not saying that with any information, but if the title of Mike McDonald's book is Chasing Edges, it shouldn't be a surprise. They're turning over every stone to find those kind of edge guys.
All right, question number 3. We know there's going to be a whole bunch of Huskies drafted here in a couple of weeks. Of all of them, I mean, look, everyone knows about Adunze and some of them. Who will surprise people the most in the NFL?
I think Roger Rosengarten. Who we chatted with, a month and a half ago? Yeah. And you felt his maturity, right? You were very, very tepid. I mean, very tepid. Scott Van Pelt at 7:30, great. He's on Eastern time from Augusta. Awesome. Roger Rosengarten from Southern California?
Yikes.
It's 7:30? And you were like, and then he just blew it away because he's a mature professional dude. Happens actually to go to the same high school as my kids have gone to out here. And, you know, he's just buttoned up. He's a grown-up. And, oh, by the way, he's dynamic. He was the fastest offensive lineman in this draft, running a low 4.9, you know, and got great skill and can play right tackle and maybe play a little left tackle. And it's just a versatile guy. And we're going to look up and go, man, that Roger Rosengarten, he's yet another one of those Huskies from that 24 class that played 10-plus years in this league. He's got that kind of upside.
All right. That is today's Blue 88 football questions we ask Brock every day at this time. And we do have a lot more football. We're going to go around the NFL here at 8:30. We've got mock draft time with Bruce Feldman at 9:30 this morning. So, Brock's draft profiles at 9 o'clock. Gosh. We got like a ton of
draft. When are we going to talk Mariners?
Well, we're going to do it next, as a matter of fact. We're going to do that coming up here in just a moment. There was a lot that went wrong yesterday in a lot of ways that mimics other things that have gone wrong in each of the other games before it. But there's one that I just can't quite get over. I don't understand how it keeps happening. And I think I'd like to see this person get the day off. It's next on Brock and Salk.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.